Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fake news. All I have to say, fake news. Here we go. Let's go, Dave Harrigan. What do you have?
I'm going to start with this one since Ari just mentioned the purple and Kirk Cousins coming back to town this week. And I'm sure we'll discuss it with Matthew Collar coming up in about a half an hour.
Yep.
Any Vikings fan going to U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday to loudly boo Kirk as he's introduced is an absolute clown.
Am I wrong?
Why?
Because he did a lot for this team, and he was pretty good.
That's what fans do. They're not rational. They're not grounded in reason. I've got my guys wearing a jersey that I like. So I'm going to overreact in glee and overreact in hatred, and so I'm going to do it. On the purest sense of would they have done the same thing as Kirk Cousins, 99.99% of them would have done the same thing. The Vikings were offering 1 year with some quirky incentives to make it 2 years. The Falcons have guaranteed 2 years and then a lot of money for the third year, let alone a fourth year. It would have been huge money. Kirk Cousins left on the table. Tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Let's be real. He left because the Vikings were giving him an offer that they weren't really serious about. If he takes it, it would have been, wait, what?
Yeah. No, here's the split, I believe, and this is from some good sourcing. I think this is one of the areas where KOC and Kwesi saw things a little different. I hear from, again, good sourcing, that O'Connell was much more to Kwesi and the Brain Wizards, let's go all in. Look what he did last year. And Kwesi was like, I'm going to make an offer, but we're getting ourselves out of this salary cap hell, and I'm not going to go long-term with the guy. And so most of the time when there's somebody out there, what's the cliche? You need one team to give big money. And I don't think there was a bidding war. I think it was very clear that the Atlanta Falcons were in a parade by themselves. You know, John Williams would say, okay, here's my position. Where's the parade? Oh, yeah, that's right. Nobody's behind me. Okay, so let me ask you this. From when Kirk Cousins signed with this team, a team that was pretty much in its prime defensively and had Case Keenum, who had, after what, the first game where he struggled? But after that, what would you say Case was that year? About a 7.5 to an 8?
Yeah, as Zimmer told us after every game, he's got another horseshoe up his backside.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
It was insulting. It was just ridiculous. I don't think Zimmer likes any quarterback.
No, he hates
right.
Him. Hates
so,
him.
Did Kirk Cousins live up to his expectations, underachieve or overachieve? What do you think?
I mean, the expectations were this is going to be Super Bowl or bust. So obviously that didn't work out, but. Put his work up against any Vikings quarterback in history, he's right up there.
Yeah, if we're judging on numbers in an era where numbers are so much more inflated than any other era, yes.
Not to mention the defense then went to rot.
Yeah.
And by the way, the whole town fell in love with him watching quarterback.
That's it. That's when quarterback and then Zimmer leaving because Zimmer
Kirko Chains came out
Zimmer
came to play
no part of him when they act like when they were shoving each other that was just fun. There was contempt right. If it's a normal situation where somebody works for you and does this and then leaves for more money and you liked them all along when you see him, you welcome him back. In sports, we're not rational. We're irrational, the fans. And so I told Adam, I think it's going to be about 70% boos, 30% cheers. If he's introduced, the Vikings might just take this out of the equation and introduce their offense.
They might.
And then the Falcons have their defense. What do you think they're going to do? Do you think they want to kind of tip the cap a little bit to Kirk? And because there's no real hard feelings with KOC and Kwesi and Cousins,
no.
From what I've been told.
Doesn't seem that way.
No, I don't think there's – and there shouldn't be.
JJ that he loves him.
There shouldn't be, right? He's your likable Minnesota neighbor who is coming back off an Achilles late in his career. And we'll get into this with Collar. He's had some bad games. Last week he was terrible.
Last three, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass.
I don't remember the last time a team did a tribute for a returning player in the NFL. Those just don't happen, right?
No.
Now, we are the new touchy-feely organization where all we do is praise our guys and other guys.
KOC going to bring them some flowers across the field?
They might turn them into Desmond Tutu. I don't know, but they're going to boo.
Can we talk about the big man from the North Pole?
Mr. Claus?
Mr. Claus.
Mr. Kringle?
Yeah.
Sure, let's go.
Parents, this is your warning.
Is he here?
We're talking about the big man. We're talking about Santa.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might be here. Because Santa, this is a message to you. You don't need to be every single place during the holiday season. I feel like
Sounds like you're restricting Santa.
I feel like the world is trying to take advantage of Santa. 11 months, we don't care. All of a sudden, we demand he be everywhere. Santa! It's okay to sit a couple plays out, monitor the elves, Netflix and chill with Mrs. Claus a couple
Make fun
nights.
Of Rudolph. You like that.
No, I'm not a fan of that at all. Look, with kids, we get invitations, flyers for 11,000 different things.
Yep.
And Santa doesn't have to be at every single freaking one.
Just hit the am I wrong.
No, I'm exactly right.
Wrong.
Because I don't want to have to see Santa 8 times in a weekend and try to explain to the kids why Santa looked different at this one. Why is he wearing red? Is he wearing green?
Poor parenting. That's what it is.
Poor parenting.
Hit the am I wrong.
I am a tremendous parent. You know what Santa is? He is the...
He's overused, really.
No. Yeah, he is. He's the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire of holiday figures. He's good. He's great,
limited
but he's
doses.
Oversaturated.
Am I wrong?
Okay, so in other words, Dave Harrigan, again, you've been warned, parents. Dave Harrigan is going to set up a checklist of which businesses each day are allowed to use Santa, which businesses are allowed to have commercial Santa, which businesses are allowed to have an ad showing Santa.
It was the same as when I was a kid. What did you have to do to see Santa? Well, you had to go to the mall,
wait till my
stand in line for 2 hours, finally get up there, and then freak out about some guy that smelled funny and then run away just to tick off your parents even more. Let's go back to that. Toughen up, young kids.
So no television Santa? No advertising Santa. No, by the way, hot Santa. We had hot Frosty a couple weeks ago. Now we got hot Santa. By the way, I see the picture of the guy. He's not that hot.
He's hotter than normal Santa.
Yeah, because he's mainly Kringle.
It looks like he hits the gym a little bit more than St. Nick himself.
Okay, so he's juicing Santa. That's what he really is.
He's clanging and banging Santa.
You are hating the Christmas season.
I'm saying calm down. We don't need Santa ever. There's like three Santas out on the street right now. Look, I'm sure they're there.
Well, I'll say this.
Just wandering around.
It's December 6th. You're now allowed to put your tree up. Okay.
Today,
I've decided. I've just said it. You now are allowed. I know you've been waiting.
Oh, yes.
You've been waiting. I now am allowing you to put the tree up. But if you want to embrace Santa in the month of December, I'm for it. I believe in joy and merry. You believe in hatred. That's what it sounds like. The man who brings us mirth and fun and gifts and jolly and smile and presents. You want him only, what, just one night? Just one night where he's slinging toys out?
The mall is perfectly fine. Santa should be treated more like the McRib. Okay?
God.
Keep it hidden. But when Santa
the
pops
McRib
up,
is gross,
the world
among
erupts.
The most overrated things on the planet, the McRib. I don't even know what it is. It shouldn't even be called a rib. It's that bad.
That's the McRibs.
Okay. You want to react to any of this, including Dave's hatred towards Santa Claus? He wants Santa Claus iced out. Like a hit job on Santa. 651-461-9226.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the texts, this one to Dave Harrigan. How about the parents that can't afford the fancy mall Santa picture, Dave? Did the Grinch hate the poor, too? Yeah, what an elitist you've become.
How about we go back to the days where you didn't have to pay $1,000 for a picture with Santa? Parents could get up there with the disposable camera, the Polaroid, whatever they have. Boom, you take a picture, tell Santa you want the Red Ryder gun, and get on out of there.
Chad Baloney, any player with at least a little bit of loyalty who's making tens of millions would not abandon his team to grab even more money somewhere. I'll be at the game and let's boo this traitor. Okay, I hope that's just a joke because it was 1 year and then maybe a little bit of money in the second year. The other place, it was, what, about 60, 70, 80 more million dollars? Yeah. If you're turning down that amount of money, you're a fool. You're just
correct.
A fool. And by the way, this team wanted him for a year, and the other team potentially wants him for 2-3 years. You just would be
to mention he can't even be sure how he's going to respond after the injury.
100%.
I'll take the 2-3 years guaranteed.
He's coming off an Achilles. He's what, 37? What is he? Something like that right now?
Yeah, in there.
And this other place is offering him a lot more money. Guaranteed, get out of here. Wrong. What's next?
Dexter mentioned photos of Santa. The committee actually has something to say about photos.
We they used to do a lot of videos. Like, you know, you could bring that same, like, old school VCR and say, here's the kid at one, here's the kid two, here's the kid at three. Now it's, hey, you take your phone. You know, you document it. We're not going to do it.
The committee speaks speaking mostly about youth sports and school photos.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
The biggest ripoff still going today against American families.
I think you're right.
For our two girls, about $100 for copies of the school photos today. I mean, talk about colossal price gouging. That's right there. But on top of that, not only do I have to pay the $100 to get the two beautiful girls in their photos, I got to spend about an hour at the kitchen table last night with a scissors. Cutting them apart because, God forbid, big photo take the time to, you know, separate the 5x8s by the 2x3s and the 3x5s. someone get Elon and Vivek on the case. I don't know, because this is the greatest scam ever pulled on the American parenting community.
Am I wrong?
There was some point, you know, this is when Kathy and I are divorced, so we're each ordering the pictures and ordering the pictures. And at some point, we both look like, I don't know, do you want them? I don't know anymore, because on our phone, we got like 5,000 pictures of them. And then we have to pay too much. Then you have no idea if they're going to turn out any good. And then are you really going to put these pictures up at the house? You might. I have some of the kids' pictures from sports and activities still up at the house. I have other pictures. But you're 100% right. Here's another one, and you're years and years away from this. When your kids get close to their senior year, the process now of a senior picture seems to be you have to hire a photographer from Paris.
Correct.
You then fly.
Greece, I think, is the most popular.
To Greece
now.
Or to Monterey, California. Your kid's going to be in a crappy mood, doesn't want to do it, but then if the pictures don't turn out right, next you're flying to Madrid to repeat the process.
Don't forget 12 costume changes.
Oh, my God. And you have to go to like five different stores to pick all the clothes, and you're praying to God you and the kid are getting along at that point. So it's not just a treasonous level of hatred taking place.
Can't wait. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Good luck. What happened just the old, you show up at school, you wore, maybe if you're a guy, you wore the an ill-fitting sport coat. They take two, three pictures, or maybe they just take one.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
When there it is.
My senior pictures, I remember, it was either you can go to the regular, you know, day of school thing with the blue background.
Yep.
Or you could go to this specific photography studio. That's the only one. They will be indoors. You will not get outdoor pictures. If you want, you could, but those obviously would not be considered for the yearbook.
Yeah, now you're vying
How
for
dare you.
Annie Leibovitz to swing by the place and take some photos.
Throw you in a pumpkin or
yes,
something like that.
Yes.
Stories in the news this week about the insane amount of credit card debt Gen Z is carrying,
How about just overall?
Well, yes. But
the credit card debt on this planet.
It's bonkers.
It's indescribable.
But the one that struck me was one that was specific to Gen Z.
Yeah.
What the people with no money are obviously spending, the money they're not, they don't have. But also another survey that showed that same younger generation feels the need to earn nearly $600,000 a year to feel financially successful. That's what they believe. Now, the committee has long had a policy. They've been a body bound to avoid the wide generalizations of any groups, age groups, specifically generations.
I think you're breaking it.
I think this is a line, and the committee has voted. This is a line that needs to be crossed. Gen Z, listen up. Everything does not need to be Instagram perfect in your life for you to be happy or successful.
Maybe ever.
Grow up. Stop spending the money you don't have and pay your bills.
Am I wrong?
$600,000 in your 20s.
It's fair. That's normal.
Are you Timothy Chalamet? Are you, who are you? Are you Baron Trump?
Hello, Baron.
How many Gen Zers are making $600,000? Is this just their frustration and anger and why so many of them are living in mommy and daddy's basement because they're not up to $600,000?
Do they know what things cost?
I mean, if you're in your early 20s and you're making $50,000, you're making double what I made at that point.
Yeah. I'd be pulling for that in my early 40s. I'd be thrilled.
I mean, honestly, I was getting $100 a game down in Orlando, Florida. And riding crappy buses, you know, and there are a lot of people who are saying, wow, I would have loved to have had that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a part of it where it should kind of stink for a while. It should kind of fall flat in your face for a while. Live in a crappy apartment for a while. Have the first house and have things break apart a little bit. You know, find a neighbor, Bill. Find a collider, or else just figure it out yourself.
Yeah, a little DIY.
$600,000 and... You know, the credit card debt, when the Biden administration And again, what's likely we're going to get a Joe Biden final press conference?
That's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure it is. When they were, you know, the college loans became a huge thing. At some percent because they really meant it. At some percent because they were begging for you folks to vote for us.
Worked out well.
Yeah. How'd that work out? I don't understand why they didn't attack credit card interest rates, which are about as awful as they get.
Yeah, 20% is a good rate.
Yeah, that's a good rate. And I get it. A lot of people are in such a financial position where they can't pay it off. And for some of the folks out there, you know what they're buying? They're buying food. They're buying lodging. They're buying some level of transportation. And so they have no choice but to run up credit card debt. I get it. I hope that changes quickly for them. I wish them only the best. But for others, they're buying their fifth coat. They're pumping up their Instagram profile. They're doing whatever. And then they're still dealing with 18, 19, 20%, and they're surprised that they're not able to save money. Show a level of patience. Hopefully you're healthy and you live a long life. Because aspiring for $600,000 when you're a 21-year-old or just racking up credit card debt is just stupidity at that point. No other way to say it.
They'll make it as an influencer, Chad. Just
yeah. Good luck.
A couple more things.
Matthew Collar next. Do we have Matthew Collar? Wow. I think we do.
Of course we do.
Of course we do. Matthew is here, like all our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty jacked up for football, man.
Nice.
I mean, this is one heck of a weekend. I mean, you got UNLV, Boise State tonight. You got all those big matchups that are going to determine college playoff tomorrow. You got
ASU, Iowa State, I assume, is the headline. Arizona State on the way to winning the national championship, easily dispensing with the Cyclones. I'm hoping that you will be live tweeting that game.
Okay, I do like Iowa State's quarterback. He's a lot of fun. But you know what? You jest, but this year in college football,
why not?
Anybody can beat anybody.
Why not my school? Why not?
Why not? It's the most wide open year that has ever happened in college football since I've been watching.
Do you believe in miracles? I hope the broadcaster, when ASU is crowned the first ever national championship, works on that. Okay, I thought of you instantly. I'm watching the game with my significant other and watching it last night. And when it's fourth and one, and when Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit are guaranteeing that a field goal is coming, I look over and say, I got a friend of mine named Matt. And he is as convinced as I am. And I think I'm convinced because of him and Dan Campbell. They are 1,000% going for this no matter what. And then, of course, Dan Campbell acted like Dan Campbell, goes for it. They get the first down. They run the clock down to two. And they get the field goal. Did you have any hesitation in believing that Campbell made the right decision? Because it's what, at about 42, 43 seconds left. If he kicks the field goal, Jordan Love gets the ball back, you know what, 25-yard line. And there's now about 38 seconds left. They only need to go, what, 40, 35 yards or so to set up a field goal? Some would say the concern is if you don't get it, guess what? They have to go even less and they win the game. Do you think no matter the results, Dan Campbell made the right decision?
Yes, I do. Because, well, one, I always believe if you can win the game on one play that you take a shot at it. Look at what Arizona did last week.
Yes.
They left the door open by playing it safe. There's enough time there to move the ball. Also has to be considered that Dan Campbell's defense has none of its players left. I mean, that is the most banged up defense. They're worn down. They couldn't stop Green Bay. That has to be a factor that they knew they couldn't pressure. They couldn't pressure. Aiden Hutchinson's not there. So I think that was a factor. Also, Dan Campbell knows that if they lose that game, everyone will criticize him, and that's fine with him, and not his team as much, but they'll be all focused on him. He'll take that. And if they win the game, how jacked up is that franchise? How, like, the downside is everyone goes, ah, man, well, that's how we play. The upside is, can you believe this freaking Lions team and how good they are and how confident they are and how much they believe in themselves? And, you know, I was thinking about it, too, about three-pointers. When Steph Curry started taking three-pointers from 30 feet away, everybody was like, wait a minute, this can't be a real – this can't be a real strategy, right? Yeah. To be this aggressive and take shots that far away. But the reason Steph Curry could do it is because he's Steph freaking Curry. The reason they could do it is because they're the Detroit freaking Lions. They have the best offensive line in football. They have the some of the best weapons, definitely some of the best running backs in football. Can you hand off and get a yard? Yes. And I asked Kevin O'Connell about it today. He basically said, you know, analytics that cover all games, all teams, those are instructive, but you also have to do the analytics for your team. What's the odds that what's the odds that the Jaguars get a yard? Well, not good. What's
your strength, right? What can you do, and what effect does it have on your team? What have you been saying your team all along, and does it live up to your capabilities?
Yep, and not only that, but from a 3-point perspective, always when I was growing up, you would hear, well, live by the three, die by the three. Yeah. You don't want to be one of those 3-point shooting teams. And then everyone became a 3-point shooting team all the time, because it turns out that the downside of missing threes is not as bad as you think, and the upside is bigger than you think. So the analytics on last night was that Dan Campbell earned his team another 7 points by converting those fourth downs. And when they missed one, okay, you gave up some points, but you earned way more back. The same way with, well, if you don't rebound and crash the boards, well, that's not actually worth as much as you think. And I think that, I don't know that Dan Campbell's an analytics genius, or he just understands his team can get it and he believes in them, but I think the strategy is only going to increase in the league of doing things like this and not decrease.
Well, I think they're such an interesting combination. Clearly he's their leader. He's part just old-fashioned, hard-nosed, macho, tough guy football. But then he's got Ben Johnson, who's the modern analytics guy. He's got Aaron Glenn, the former player. They are going to be a really, really tough out. Let's get to the Vikings. Let's get to Cousins. And let's play it this way. On this show on Mondays, we play this game, overrated, underrated, properly rated. So let's apply this to Kirk Cousins, the expectations he faced and how it played out for him and the team during his run. So if I said Matthew Collar, Mr. Purple Insider, the Kirk Cousins era with his large involvement and with things out of his control, they were either overrated, underrated, or properly rated. You say what?
I think that Minnesota football fans would properly rate the Kirk Cousins era with a big, it was a big meh. They had a couple of moments. They won a single playoff game. They didn't come anywhere close to what they expected when they signed Kirk Cousins, because it was Super Bowl or bust. Every national reporter I've ever heard of showed up at that 2018 camp to talk about how it was Super Bowl or bust. And then we moved the goalposts to, hey, they won a playoff game in New Orleans in the wild card round. Congratulations, they got their tails kicked the next week. And then even with the 13-win season, the wheels came off of that. They checked down on 4th and 8. Like you said, it's not all Kirk Cousins' fault. They could have had better guards. They could have had a better defense. But that also ties back in to continuing to pay someone who is not a type of quarterback that you generally pay, who makes people better and makes teams better. So I thought of the last 6 years as this malaise that the fans ended up going through, never believing that they could actually have it work. And then now, as he comes to town with Atlanta, they are feeling the same exact thing. You're 6-6. He's had his ups and downs. It's been kind of entertaining. It's been kind of miserable. And they have no chance to actually win the Super Bowl. It's like, hey, look familiar, everybody. So I always looked at the Kirk Cousins era as some fun times, but mostly a failure.
So here's what I will say on the Giants.
An incredible decision for the future.
Your phone broke up a little bit. Sorry to jump in. Here's what I will say about the Giants game. And yes, heck, we play it as a soundbite from him leading into you about checking down, okay? And he was rushed. I still think you got to throw the ball further downfield. I agree with that 100%. That game, though, was all about, to me, and I'm not taking Cousins totally off the hook here, but I'm taking him a fair amount off the hook because the Giants didn't punt the entire game.
Yeah.
We cannot forget that part of that one playoff game that Cousins was a part of.
Yeah, and you have to think, too, that if Brian Flores had been here and not Ed Donatell, maybe it's different. But, you know, it doesn't...
Not just, maybe. It would have been different.
Yeah, it would have been different. But doesn't that just... It just defines the Kirk Cousins
yes,
era.
It adds
it's
to
like,
it. Yep.
We spent 6 years trying to pick apart whose fault was it anyway. It's like, oh, was it John DeFilippo's fault? Was it Mike Zimmer's culture of fear? Was it the salary cap's fault? Was it Spielman's drafting? Was it yada, 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 yada? And bottom line is, you paid out $150 million for one playoff win and two fun seasons. That's not what you signed for. And it does kind of amaze me that people even continue to do it, that the Vikings continue to sign him to extensions, that Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons said, yeah, this guy who's never gotten a team there, it'll be different for us. Oh, yeah, his Achilles blew up, but sure, like, it'll be different for us. And lo and behold, it was not different. But I would say this, Kirk is always bouncing up off that mat. You think he's down for the count.
Yes.
You count to nine, Kirk is going to have his best game. So I am kind of, if I'm the Vikings, I'm nervous that he's going to have one of those classic Cousins bounce back games.
All right, let me play again the Sam Darnold game. And I'm picking up a little bit on a mailbag to you again. Matthew Collar's Behind Purple Insider, stories, interviews, mailbag, video interviews, instant analysis, purpleinsider.football, it's worth it. Let's play this game out, Matthew Collar. Sam Darnold continues to play mainly like he has the last 3 weeks when he's been outstanding, okay? And the Vikings win multiple games and they lose to the Lions in a competitive NFC championship game. And they can sign Sam Darnold to a lucrative contract, but it's not Josh Allen, it's not Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's not even quite where Baker Mayfield was, but it's up there. But Darnold looks around and says, wait, you want me? I'm 27. Would the Vikings do that and say, JJ, we love you, but we know we're going to at least get a number one draft choice for you. It made sense all along to ride out your contract. We believe in you. But guess what? We've got this guy, and he's only 27. Instead of thinking we might have somebody better, we know what we have with Darnold. We're signing Darnold, and we're getting maybe a number one and a number three for J.J. McCarthy. Am I drinking, or does that have any chance at all to happen?
Oh, I think it does have a chance to happen, but the more likely thing is we have to remember that they have a franchise tag in their back pocket.
Yes, they do.
And it would make so much sense that if you go to the NFC Championship game and Darnold plays great, that you use that franchise tag or you sign him to a very short deal with the threat of the franchise tag. Like, hey, we could just tag you. How about we sign you for a little bit more that's not going to be restrictive if we end up moving on? But the tag, just that's sitting there, it allows them to potentially just keep Darnold around for another year, develop McCarthy for another year, get a whole other year of a sample size. And something that's important here, too, is that this is not a team that is ready to fall off the map with its age or its key players or there's guys leaving or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, every coach, every player on the offensive side that has helped make Sam Darnold maximize the talent that we knew was already there when he was drafted third overall, they're all coming back. Number 18 is locked up for a long time. Addison, Hockenson, Darisaw is going to recover. I mean, they're in a position where they could make it a Sam Darnold window without also hurting themselves long term. Because even if you look at this year, they're paying $40 million on the cap this year for the quarterback position because 28 of it is going to dead cap from Kirk Cousins. And yet, look what they did. Because they went into free agency, they moved those contracts down the road when they signed Van Ginkle and Cashman, and those extensions don't get expensive till down the road. So you could stretch it another year with Darnold, and almost in a like Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love type fashion, where you sign him and keep him, and you keep the team together. And then when
is that, what is that the franchise? Is that about $35 million? I'm trying to remember about what would they have to give him if they just franchised.
Rough estimate is probably about 40.
Okay,
which if that's a 1 year contract, they have about $78 million in cap space, I think, right now. And that's they're going to have to sign people like Byron Murphy and Cam Bynum and so forth. But if you sign, if you look at Cashman, Van Ginkle, and Grenard's cap hits for this year, just this year, they're not very much because they set them up to be bigger during McCarthy, right? Well, you can do the same thing. You just push that plan down the road one more year with Darnold. Then after that, you would have cap problems, but you would also be able to keep that potential offense together and have another shot at it, as opposed to going right to McCarthy. And if McCarthy had to wait one more year, oh my gosh, he'd be 23, still younger than Bo Nix, still younger than Michael Penix. I mean, that's fine. If he's got to develop for 2 years and you're taking two shots at trying to win the Super Bowl, I see nothing wrong with that.
Great stuff as always, sir. And enjoy the ball game. We'll talk next week.
Yep, thanks for having me, man.
He's excellent. That's as simple as that. Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.football. Collar with us every Friday. Wrap up the show. Remind you, I can check us out on the social media platforms when we return. Rump-a-bum-bum.
Straight from the album, Shatner Claus.
Shatner Claus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. With everything, including Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and all the music. What's our ballpark? What Bill? We'll act like we're friends. We'll call him Bill. That Bill is made on the music side. What would you guess?
That's a tremendous question.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good. A couple million.
Couple mil?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah?
I've told you before, an album he did about, it's got to be about 20 years ago now. There is legit good music on it.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe we should play that someday next.
We played some, actually, on his birthday,
oh,
which I believe
that's
was
right.
March or April.
Was he 89?
I think he's in his 90s.
I mean, he looks phenomenal for that age. I mean, talk about milking it for an overrated show. Dude.
Born March 22nd, 1931, 93 years old.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
He's found the secret.
He has found the secret. And you're with me. Star Trek. Just, nah, at best.
My brother loved Star Trek growing up.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, he's watching. Okay, I'll sit down.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I assume you never talk to him anymore.
Right? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, you're the
King Nerd behind us.
Yeah, King Nerd, Mr. Telescope. Ask him all about it. What moon do we have in the sky today, Dan, that we'll never see again? You know, it's only once every 500 years this moon is going to be here somehow. Some will see it. So get out there and...
It's a 28% waxing crescent.
There we go, the waxing crescent.
28%.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't want to wax their crescent on a Friday night? Let's be honest. I'm involved in some important... Okay, now
he's showing me his moon app.
Okay, get out of here. I'm involved in some very important... R&D. A
lot going on for you this weekend.
Yes, I'm getting the heck out of here. But tonight, I am with my boy and all my boys. Q, Hunter Griffin, WWE baby.
I'm excited for you.
SmackDown, because Quinton loves wrestling.
I hope the champ is there. I hope Roman shows up.
Oh, we'll be acknowledging Roman. And Solo, we will not be acknowledging
Mm-mm.
Solo.
Mm-mm.
We will not acknowledge Solo. We'd like to have a little yeet action with Jey Uso. That's Q's favorite. Cody could show up. That'd be great. So wrestling spectacular for us. Have a fantastic weekend. Look who's here. Henry Lake in the house. He'll take you home. Who's in for Henry?
Steve Thompson.
Stevie Thompson. Stay tuned to CCO all throughout the day. A genuine thank you for listening. Maybe follow us on Twitter, @ Chad Hartman Show. Same thing on Instagram. Henry's next, everybody.